She said Obi-Wan Kenobi. I wonder if she means old Obi-Wan Kenobi. Well, I guess I'll go bullseye some womp rats in my T-16.
My God, you shoot small animals for fun? That's the first indicator of a serial killer, you freak.
There's two sons and no women. What the hell am I supposed to do?
And now, two guys who really know how to have fun on a planet with two suns.
It's Mos Eisley Radio.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to another fine episode of Mos Eisley Radio. Episode 6, in fact. It's a Sunday, my day off. I'm feeling pretty good. And joining me, of course, as always, Zach Brown. Zach, what's the haps?
Yeah, you can just go on and call me Spider Slayer, dude, because that's my mission.
Spider Slayer?
I think I've killed two or three spiders today alone in my room, and it's starting to drive me nuts.
Sounds like you need to get sprayed.
No.
Or neutered.
No, but the worst part is one showed up in the shower while I'm naked, and I have my glasses off, and I look over, and I see this dark spot. And by the way,
you're blind.
I am totally blind without my glasses on. So I see this dark blur, and I'm like, is that mold? And then I get up next to it, and it's this spider, and it's got like its two fang things on the front of its face, like moving. I'm like, yeah! And then I couldn't find anything to kill it. So, oh man,
that's pretty epic. I don't have anything epic to follow that. I've been sitting in a dark room filming an opera for the past week. From like 6 to 11 every night. So much fun. It's like Alice in Wonderland set in North Africa without a good story. So there's all this weird stuff. There's like elephants hanging from the ceiling, and I don't get it.
So is the Mad Hatter like the Mad Hatter?
No, he's like this weird like North African kind of like, I don't know, weird, creepy, like wizard king person.
Is there anything not creepy about the play?
No, even some of the actors are creepy too. It's like, as we go over like between wide shots and close shots, and we'll get close shots sometimes, and I'm like, I want to cut away from this as soon as I can.
Nice.
But anyways, God, it's been a slow news like 3 weeks.
Months.
Ever since basically. PAX. Ever since PAX, it's been pretty slow for the Old Republic. So we're really excited. We've got we finally managed to snag Deacon and get an interview with him and talking about his project Heroes of the Old Republic. As well as a couple of other things like the Thread of Peace comic. So that's going to come up at the end of the show. We've also got the contest winners to announce. We'll be doing that here in just a little bit. Let's go ahead and dive into news from the Galactic Republic.
This just in, Terrace is under attack by a Sith fleet.
The new Sith Empire is now a serious threat for Pace.
As the war presses on, the Mandalorian blockade stands firm.
Citizens and dignitaries are urged to seek shelter as the planetary bombardment continues.
News from the Galactic Republic.
Yeah, we're scraping from the bottom.
Yeah, no kidding.
This week.
So the funny thing here is that news from the Galactic Republic isn't actually about Star Wars: The Old Republic.
Yeah,
it's about galaxies, and in the grand scheme of things, this actually kind of relates to the Old Republic in a way. So, this popped up on Kotaku and a couple of One Up, a couple other places around the web a couple weeks ago. Sony Online Entertainment is shutting down 12 of its 25 Star Wars galaxies.
Is it 12 or is it 8?
12.
Okay.
12 of its 25 current galaxy servers. So they're moving from 25 down to 13. This is happening on October 15th. There's a couple interesting things to talk about this, I guess. First off, Just for Galaxies players, because I have to imagine that we have at least a couple of listeners who are still playing Galaxies.
Oh, I know we have a lot.
We've
got a lot of feedback from listeners that make references to Galaxies, or they talk about their experience now playing it. So I know we have.
Yeah, I know we at least have quite a few past players. So, you know, like if if for some reason you're a past player and you have the urge at all to start playing again at some time, get on, and you're on one of these 12 servers, get on and move your character, because after the 15th, it's going to be just gone. Totally.
So the thing is, a lot of people who aren't Galaxies players are probably wondering is, why are we talking about this on this podcast that is not about Star Wars? And the reason is this kind of brings up some questions. Is Sony freaking out because of the amount of hype going into the Old Republic? Or is this just them strategizing for their future?
Go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, a lot of people kind of take the approach that they're just freaking, or this is kind of like the beginning for the end of Galaxies. But I kind of disagree with that. I think the Old Republic is going to be way bigger than Galaxies ever was.
Oh, absolutely.
But I don't think Galaxies is going to totally shut down. And the reason why I say that is, you look at games like EverQuest compared to EverQuest 2, there's still EverQuest players today. And Galaxies is one of those things that's, like, what's left is, like, this really close kind of niche community, I guess you would say. And I feel like there's just going to be a lot of people at the end of the day is like, you know what? I'm just going to keep playing this because I've got so much time and dedication put into it. I don't really want to step away from all this. Or they might step away, but do that still on the side. So I kind of don't think that them shutting down the servers is just them throwing in the towel saying, okay, that's it. We might as well prepare for the end here. I think what they're doing is going, you know, we're going to lose some money in the long run on this, and it's better off to consolidate our servers now than wait till that day comes and we've lost everyone and we're not ready for it. And we're like, we've got like, so how many servers are they shutting down? You said 12.
They're shutting down 12.
That's going to leave them with how many?
With 13. I mean, yes. that's still a fair amount. I mean, you have to think, this is also a part of the general life cycle of games like this. You know, people kind of lose sight of the fact that games lose audience as time goes on because of World of Warcraft that just keeps ramping up its subscription base. But I mean, you look at a game like PlanetSide, which came out years and years and years ago, and it still has a server around. And you know, Star Wars Galaxies is 6 years old at this point. I don't know anyone who's really, really still into like some kind of RPG that came out 6 years ago. You know, they've probably moved on at this point for the most part. So, I mean, this is just kind of like a natural progression of the life cycle. And as people move away, there's no need for them to keep up 25 servers and have a bunch of low population servers when they can kind of compress everybody into a smaller amount and kind of keep that community going and, you know, still serve the players who are still around.
So. Well, the other thing, too, is obviously servers are expensive to maintain, and that's part of the reason why you're charged a monthly fee for the most part, or they charge you for something to make money for MMOs, just because of the amount of maintenance cost that goes into it. They do have to kind of recuperate that some way or another, especially if you're looking at a game that's been around as long as, we'll just say, Star Wars Galaxies. I can't speak for, you know, like any certain experience in my life to where I can point out and go, I know that these servers cost a lot or any give you a set amount, other than I know they do cost.
Well, recently at the Game Developers Conference, Blizzard basically totally shocked everybody at least in the developer world by saying, here is exactly how we run things. And within the past year, they've kind of given some hints of this, and at GDC, they really let it all spill out. And they gave some details on, I don't remember numbers off the top of my head, but, you know, just how much of their team is dedicated to server and managing servers and stuff like that, and the associated costs are pretty strong when you consider they're serving 12 million people all around the world. I mean, obviously Galaxies is on a much smaller scale at this point, but still. Well,
the thing I think you can take away from with all this is that the Old Republic is going to affect Galaxies. Absolutely. It is going to take away a lot of players, but I don't think it's going to kill the game. And I think this is just them taking the small amount of players they have left, dumping all of the data from all of the players that don't play anymore and probably never will come back again, and just throwing that out, not having to worry about keeping track of that, maintaining that. It's just making it to where it's consolidating everything, and I think basically that's all this is
Yeah, yeah, and you know, the other thing to think about, and there was a lot of stink about this in the community, but you know, the fact is, the people who are still playing Galaxies today may very well not even be remotely interested in the Old Republic. I mean, I'm sure it's on their radar because it's a Star Wars game, but the people who have stuck around through all the mess that Sony has done with that game are clearly very dedicated to what's going on there, and I wouldn't see them moving anytime soon. And speaking of moving anytime soon, let's do this.
I heard a new ship from the Outer Rim just landed in Docking Bay 94. I wonder what kind of stories they have.
You have no idea.
Stories from the Outer Rim. This may very well be the first time we have more stories from the Outer Rim than news from the Galactic Republic. I don't know. So we talked literally just a second ago about subscription options, and there's this big stink on the Old Republic forums about this thing that what's his name? Riccoletto? Someone Riccoletto. He's one of the head honchos at EA. Basically said something to the effect of EA's gonna, or the Old Republic's gonna have some kind of microtransaction payment.
Instead of a subscription
based. Instead of just a regular subscription based. And actually, I could totally be wrong on who I'm talking about. Doesn't matter. Basically, a lot of people getting in this huge.
John.
Is it?
EA CEO. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
I can't even begin to butcher. I'd butcher that last. John.
Oh, I'm sure I got it really wrong too. Riccatiello. Oh, Jesus Christ. That was really bad. Anyways. I'm sick, people. Just give it to me. Anyways, people making a big stink about microtransactions versus subscription-based. And after this whole mess came around, eventually 10-Ton Hammer, which is kind of like Massively or some of the other big MMOs blogs, was talking to
10-Ton Hammer.
Yeah, that is a hilarious name, by the way.
Did you ever hear the soundtrack for the Aqua Teen Hunger Force movie?
I know exactly what you're talking about.
Where Carl makes
a joke about
9-pound hammer in his genitals.
Yeah. Yeah, anyways, 10-Ton Hammer was talking to Blaine Christine, and he's like all the other devs, he's like, we're not even remotely at a point where we're talking about subscription options or payment options or anything like that, and we're gonna do what's right for the community at hand. So this is
kind of funny that the one comment coming from the guy at EA and the other coming from someone that's part of the dev team. I kind of wonder how much these two guys like come back on Monday morning and they're like, gosh, can you believe what those guys over there are flapping? I'm sure it causes a lot of fires.
I want to preface this for anyone who doesn't know the way this is working out is that BioWare is developing the game. And EA is going to end up publishing it, which basically means they take care of like all the commercial side stuff like that.
Running the money and then running this. I imagine upkeeping the servers and things like that. So.
I mean, BioWare is, I have no insight on how or that detailed level of insight on how that part of the gaming industry works. But anyways,
but bottom line in the bottom line of the story is basically BioWare is like, nope, nothing's out there. Everything is rumors at this point, and it's all speculation. So that kind of makes you wonder. Well, it doesn't make you wonder, but I guess raises the question is just what do you prefer? I mean, obviously, we all don't want to pay anything. We don't want to pay anything. But, you know, that's not a realistic.
Well, actually, that's not totally true. I am totally happy to pay BioWare for this game, at least for the game.
Well, you're totally happy to pay if it's good.
Well, yeah, exactly.
That's assuming the final product that you enjoy. And if that's the case, I don't have an issue with that either. But I'm just saying, like, if it comes down to it, if you can get away with not paying, you don't want to pay. But most of these, outside of Guild Wars, which, you know,
was free month to month.
Yeah, no one's been able to pull that off. And the two basic models that you see is either the subscription-based or the microtransaction. I'm just kind of curious, out of those two, kind of what piques your interest?
I would much rather pay just a monthly subscription. Because to me, the stigma I have of microtransactions is games like these... like Japanese and Asian and Korean MMOs, where you have access to the game for free. You may even have access to the client for free, but to actually have anything cool in the game, you have to pay for it.
Yeah.
And I feel like that level of downloadable content slash microtransaction totally gimps my gaming experience. So I personally have no interest in a microtransaction system as opposed to subscription base.
There are things about the microtransaction system that's kind of appealing to me. Like when someone says, oh yeah, if I'm on this part of the planet or this part of the universe or something like that, and I need to get over here rapidly, I can just pay 10 cents to do that. You know, that's kind of cool. And little features like that, I don't have issues with. I guess I kind of agree with you. The thing about microtransaction that scares me a lot on the surface is I feel like you're saying, you're going to see kind of like, I guess an example of this is with the Xbox 360 avatars.
Right.
They create cool things that like everybody wants, and it's like the thing to have, but you get that by paying for it. Mm-hmm. And it kind of defeats the purpose of sticking something in the game and giving you objective to obtain that item and saying it takes like the fun away. It's like, well, what's the point of going and killing this guy or this boss or fighting this battle when like the loot I get from it per se, or maybe some type of just clothing or some aesthetic item, I guess, like it's not near as cool as something that you could pay for. And it's just like at that point, it doesn't feel like it's a role-playing game anymore in terms of you going out and doing stuff and fighting your own fights, winning your own battles, and then you have the gear to show that. Uh-huh. So I agree with you. I kind of the reason why I like the whole month-to-month system myself is just it's kind of like you pay a flat fee to access it, and then you can kind of go do whatever you want with it. And then you know, if you want to go fight these bosses to earn this gear, then you can do that. And uh-huh. You don't have to worry about people having that gear, I guess, basically, that all they did was forked out $10 to get it.
Yeah. What if, I mean, we already kind of have we had that kind of microtransaction system already in place in video games. What if you took the system from like prepaid cell phones where, you know, like you just kind of pay for X number of minutes a la carte, and that was their version of the microtransaction system. So you pay for like 5 days as opposed to like 2 months at a time. I mean, make sense to you? Would that be something that you could see anyone being interested in?
I think there'd be people that would be interested in it, depending on how cheap it was. I think at the end of the day,
it would definitely have some kind of like higher fee, I would imagine.
Yeah, I think it for the consumer, it would kind of be at your disadvantage to pay that route, because at the end of the day, versus maybe paying a flat $10, $15 a month or whatever. Actually, what I'd like to see, and I think we've talked about this in the past, but what I'd like to see is the option to have a lifetime subscription, kind of like Champions Online did recently. And I'm if they offer that, I'm going to pretty much front the cash and pay for that the month it comes out. That'll be around for a while. But
yeah. Do you know how much it was in Champions Online?
I think it was $200. But there was a limited amount of people that could have that. And it was only for a certain amount of time. So, like, obviously, we've talked about this. Because I remember talking about how it was like an investment and all that kind of stuff. And you're banking on the success of the game. I don't mind. I feel like what you're saying, like, oh, if you want to pay for 5 days and that's it, that's, I mean, you're paying for time, which is a subscription-based, I guess. The only difference is it's not renewing. You have to go out and buy more time points or time whenever it runs out. But it's kind of the same model as you pay $15 to have 30 days worth of access. It's just scaled down to something much smaller.
Right. So let's be honest here. In the United States, everyone is extremely familiar with this month-to-month subscription. Every MMO that's come out in the past 3 years has done this, you know, with the option to do like to pay for like 2 months at a time or 6 months at a time or even lifetime with the Champions Online thing.
Yeah.
And you know, similar to when they were talking about the death system, you know, every game has something. It's probably not going to be drastically different from game to game. I can't see them stepping off in some crazy ass direction.
Yeah.
As far as subscription goes. And I mean, let's be honest, people, it's just how you're paying for the game. You know, it's not a big deal at the end of the day, because it's all going to be, you know, there's a market going on here, and it's all going to be right around the same cost, no matter which method they end up going with, I think.
And like you were proposing the idea, you pay $5 for 5 days worth of gameplay, let's just say. The reason why I don't think I would see him doing that is...
I don't honestly either, but that was just an idea.
The reason why I don't see that ever happening, though, is just because they're going to make a killing off the casual people.
Oh,
the
totally.
Ones that are going to pay $15 a month and then only play 5 days. And if you give them the option to pretty much take those 5 days for and only have to pay $5, it's going to significantly, you know, cut down their income, which it would be nice, you know, if as a casual gamer, like if you only want to play on one weekend out of the month, you think, and that's it, you only have to pay $5 to do that. But I really don't see him realistically offering that option, just because I think they're going to sit back and go, I think those people are going to pay regardless.
Yeah.
If they really want to play, even if it's for one weekend or, you know, for just a week and that's it, they're going to pay the full flat fee that month. And then,
well, they're probably also going to do the general industry standard of you get your first month free too.
Yeah, they'll probably throw in something like that too.
Yeah. So, you know, if this is one of those things that's going to come out near the very end of the development cycle, I have to imagine. You know, there's more things that the community is very vocal about what they want to know about. I mean, you know, obviously the new classes and planets and things like that, but you know, game mechanics regarding PvP and stuff like that, which we will talk about later. We got a question regarding PvP. But again, like I said earlier, this isn't going to be anything life changing or drastic. You know, we're all going to be paying some kind of monthly amount probably.
Yep.
And that's the way it goes. So, the other thing we wanted to touch on is something we actually were remiss. We forgot to talk about this on the show. The Old Republic has Slash Dance, folks. You're going to be able to dance in the game.
Ooh.
God. Okay. This is just one of those things that I guess is just come to be expected at this point, that we have emoticons. And I guess to a certain degree that kind of helps people in the RP community or something like that, but I honestly, I don't care if I need to slash train while I'm like sitting on a holodeck, and you know, it doesn't do anything for me. What do you think about this? Like, it's cool, it's fun, but it's not the end of the world.
The biggest thing that's going to come from this is we're going to get a lot of videos.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Cinema community. So I think that's the importance out of all of this, is that's what drives a lot of contests for specific or for a lot of the MMOs that are out there. And you see a lot of random videos based on whatever the current popular song is or things like that, which none of them are anything that I'm interested in because there's no metalcore. Come on. But besides that,
what do you think about emoticon or like, Not just emoticons, that's just like little smiley faces and stuff. But what do you think about like slash train and slash dance and, well, you know, all that kind of stuff? Like, does that, I mean, just what's your impression of
that
as part of the game?
Yeah. I think that stuff's fun because it's just little creative Easter eggs you put in the game that's like, oh, you can do that, you know? And then once you figure it out, you enjoy it for a little bit. But I don't know. It's one of those things where I can say, from a raid, just raiding standpoint, being a hardcore raider, there's been times where because of those little emote situations that are in the game, somebody will do something just not at the right time. And it's just funny because
that's true.
And everyone's just mad because you're fighting this boss and you can't do it. And then you like see someone do an emote that's just like, okay, whatever, you know,
that's true.
Or there's times people do it and it's just, you know, it's flat out hilarious. And like, it kind of changes up the game, especially just from the whole social aspect of it. So,
you know, I did just say a second ago that doesn't really add anything to my game, but I take that back because I was doing some BGs in Warcraft the other day, because they recently added where you can
play a lot of Warcraft.
I haven't in the past week because I've been so busy. But I was doing BGs because they just recently added where you can gain experience through battlegrounds. So I was just chilling out in Orgrimmar waiting for this waiting for a battleground to start, and I saw this little gnome fishing in a corner by a waterfall in Orgrimmar, and I'm like, that's hilarious. I'm gonna go over there. You know, he's way higher level than me. Yeah. I ended up having a whole conversation with him via slash commands. So I mean, that was kind of fun, I guess. So yeah, I mean, it does add enjoyment to the game. You know, every time I walk into a PvP situation where I'm just going to get totally boshed, you know, I give up and I like slash wave at the person who's just totally owning me. So
yeah,
it's fun.
I like to do the slash moan.
I bet you do. I bet you do. So we want to move on to questions, Twitter / email questions. Yes, or should we announce the contest winners now? You want to do that?
Let's go on and do that.
Okay. So last week we put out the little short episode asking people to send us an email with how they found out about the show, and we're going to give away 2 copies of Knights of the Old Republic, and we have our winners.
The first off, before we announce those, I just want to say thanks to everyone that submitted.
Absolutely.
We had a pretty good response. And so your guys' feedback helped us out a lot. It was good to see that, like, everyone's hearing about the show from
places
not expected. The same place. It's coming from all over the place. So it's really good to see that. And just thanks once again, guys, for doing this. It helps us.
Yeah. So our 2 winners are Benjamin Racho, who's actually the firefighter from that we talked about a couple weeks ago. By the
way, we should clarify, we randomly chose
totally random
a generator.
Yeah, so, like, I went to if you guys want to test me, I think I went to random.org. Hold on, let me double check.
Well, you might want to announce the other winner.
Okay, so our first winner was Benjamin Racho. So awesome, totally cool. Our other one is Morgan O'Hearn. I'm pretty sure it's Morgan. It's spelled M-O-R-G-A-I-N-E, which that's a really awesome spelling of that name. So Morgan and Benjamin, we'll get in contact with you this week. Yes?
Yeah, we'll send you an email here in the next few days. I'm not sure exactly when you're going to get this posted, but I don't want to send an email now and take the point away.
Yeah, I did use random.org and the little number generator on their front page. It's pretty awesome. So congratulations to the 2 of you. Very excited about you guys getting to play Knights of the Old Republic if you haven't before. It's
and if you don't have Steam, game. You're gonna need it.
Yeah. And
back in the day when Steam was garbage and everyone ate up all of your RAM and crashed all the time, and it made you think of that Dane Cook joke. It's like, I hate Steam.
Steam sucks. All of that said, even in those days, I still stuck by it, and I was like, this is going to be big.
Oh, I hated it.
I knew it was going to be big.
I've changed my tune.
Okay. Well, anyways. Guys, we will contact you. Very excited. And let's move on to viewer questions. So our viewer, what is a television show now? I'm an idiot. Our first question comes from MPX Dino, who asked us, have you guys heard anything about flying a ship, owning a ship, or at least commanding a ship? Anything about ships? And the short answer is, holy ship. The short answer is no. The long answer is, it's not something they're not thinking about. I mean, this unfortunately falls under that category of stock answer where they pass the mic around to each different developer every time they get one of these questions.
Hey, we know the answer, but we're just not going to tell you right now.
Yeah.
But you know what? There's nothing wrong with that. And a lot of people get upset with that because they're like, oh, we need to know everything. And I know we've talked about this on the show before, but you don't need to know everything. You know, it's going to be a while before the game comes out. I don't think you're going to have a brain aneurysm or something just thinking about this.
But I mean, the suffix to that question or to that answer is always look at other things that they've done, particularly Knights of the Old Republic. You know, so we did have some level of interaction with a ship in Knights of the Old Republic. So, I mean, I would have to expect at least some degree.
You know, we're gonna have somebody brought up a really good point on our forums this week, and I should have,
which I haven't checked, and I'm really sorry, guys. I've been so busy this week.
I think, okay, I'm sorry if I butchered this. I should have. I'm just pulling this right out of thin air right now. I think it was I'm bored username, but
yeah,
they suggested that they should propose an idea to where you could use player housing as a ship.
Yeah, I mean, there have been a couple people with this idea. I think it's pretty cool.
That was the first time I had heard something like that, and I was like, that's a really good idea. It wouldn't work with every class, like some Jedi or Jedi class or Trooper class or things like that. But some of the classes, like, depending on
your character. Bounty Hunter and Smuggler would totally work.
It would totally fit for those two classes, and it could fit for any other class. It's just,
It'd be a little bit more of a stretch.
Yeah, it'd be a little bit more of a stretch, but I could totally see that working. That would be a great idea for a player house. You know, just like, we're just gonna go chill at the ship. It's in the docking bay. You know.
Yeah, I mean, I'm all about having ships and stuff like that. I'm really interested to see if they have any desire to include space combat. Because I was a huge Freelancer fan for a while and loved that game. Loved the space combat. Freelancer was awesome. But I mean, I'm totally okay with it not being there from the get-go, if at all. That's just me. I'm totally okay if it's not there, because there's going to be so much else to do.
I don't think ships were something you could have initially in Star Wars Galaxies. I think that was something that they introduced later on.
Yeah, I feel like that was an expansion pack. We could be totally wrong, but I think you're right. So, the answer, like I said, is we haven't heard a thing. They haven't announced anything at all. But the minute they do, you can be rest assured that we are going to be all over that.
Yep. Next question comes from Machine1K. And he basically asked, well, not basically, he asked, what do you guys think of the amount of CC that might be in the game for PvP and PvE? And this is kind of a good question, because I think we've hinted at the fact that every class they've shown us so far has had at least some form of CC, yeah. And they kind of stuck out as, could this be, you know, CC heavy or not?
So for anyone who doesn't know, CC stands for crowd control, which basically is some way to prevent another character, be it a player character or a non-player character, from doing any actions.
Or specific actions.
Oh, yeah, or specific action. Sometimes it can be limited to, like, a certain spell tree or something like that.
So case in point is you could stun a guy to where he can't move or attack or do anything, and he just basically stands there for 5 seconds doing nothing. And 5 seconds would be kind of a rather long.
Yeah.
But that's just an example. And CC becomes important on the PvE side when you're in the flashpoints or instances, depending on what game you're playing, Flashpoint for TOR, but it allows you to attack a group of guys and put one guy off to the side, and you don't have to worry about him until you kill some of the other guys, and then after maybe 15 seconds you've killed some of the guys, the other guy comes out of his crowd control or his stun, or he comes to his senses basically, and is like, okay, you can fight him now. So it makes it more manageable. So for PvE, I don't have a big deal, or I don't see it as being a big deal, because it's one of those things, I think, in some games I played in the past where they've given everyone some type of CC ability just so that a way it makes group management a little bit more, it's something that's easier to handle. So that way you're not looking for like specific classes, especially in this game, because this game, if you're playing for either the Sith Empire or the Galactic Republic, there's only going to be four classes you can choose from, so you don't want to make it to where only one class is a CC class.
Well, at this point, I should mention that each of the known classes that we have so far, so Smuggler, Bounty Hunter, Trooper, and Sith Warrior, so far from the abilities they've shown in videos, they each have three. It seems that two of them are a single target, and one of them is kind of like a nearby targets kind of idea. So that's just something to add on.
Well, I think, like I was saying or getting at, it's extremely important for them all to have it, since the amount of classes you're going to have is very limited depending on which side you choose, because each class is only going to have four. So they don't want to make, I think they want to make every class useful, and they're going to kind of hammer it down. And this is for the PvE look, and I guess the same goes for PvP too. They want to make it to where every class, they haven't came out and talked a lot about the mechanics so far, so we don't know how the healing system's going to work. we really don't know how the tanking system is going to work. We don't even know if it's going to be what we consider the MMO triangle, and that is tank, heal, DPS. You know, it could be something totally different. So it might be based upon the system they're building that it is like mandatory that everyone has some type of CC ability just for survivability purposes,
right.
Both PvP and PvE. So right now, you know, the only thing I can say is we know everyone's got CC, and until we figure out how the gameplay mechanics are going to be fleshed out, I can't really comment on
it. I mean, no. The only thing that I'm worried about at this point is from the videos we've seen, everyone seems to have some pretty significant CC ability, you know, that fully stops people from doing anything. And that's
all subject to change.
It totally is. But at the same time, you know, that totally works for PvE for me. I've rated it enough to understand how important that is, but, it does kind of worry me from a PvP perspective, and I know they're going to address this. So I say I'm worried, but I know it's not going to be something that's going to be a huge deal in the long term. But I'm just curious as to what their system is going to be for curtailing some of those some of those CC abilities in PvP. Again, like with the ship question, it's not something they've at all talked about. I have to imagine with all of the noise that's been made about PvP that it's going to be one of the first non-unique features that they talk about. But that could still be weeks, months away. So, yeah, that's that. Our last question is from JD. And he said, we hear a lot about BioWare. We hear a lot from BioWare about the original KOTOR story being hinted or referenced upon in The Old Republic. What about KOTOR 2? Do you think it's worth making any inclusions or references toward the second game? And does BioWare even have the rights to use the KOTOR 2 characters? So, I did not play KOTOR 2, and you did. So, yeah. you have an idea of what the story is there. What's your impression of this?
Well, I think they can hint at stuff. I think a lot of the stuff that kind of was reoccurring in KOTOR 2 is something that people expected to be there, and is also something people would expect to kind of maybe show up in this game as well.
Mm-hmm.
This is supposed to take place, what is it?
It's 300 years after the original Knights of the Old Republic.
So, like, easily the Ebon Hawk could still be there because it was there in KOTOR 2, and, right. And HK-47 could still be around because he was there in KOTOR 2 as well, and you can see little things like that. I mean, some of the characters were pretty. I wouldn't say there were any like significant characters that that left a lasting impression in my mind. There was a smuggler that kind of helped you out. I forget what his name is. He was kind of cool. They had one of the cooler looking dark Jedis.
Yeah, like, he was super cool.
The one I think his name was Darth Nihilus. Saying that wrong. He's basically the guy that's on the front of our webpage if you go look.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like the Phantom of the Opera meets Sith Jedi kind of thing. But I could see them, you know, the story from that, they could take little Easter eggs and things like that. As far as do they have the rights to use that, I would say I think EA is what has the rights.
I would imagine the way it works is, okay, so KOTOR 2 was developed by Obsidian, but it was published by LucasArts. LucasArts is clearly the tying bind for this.
Yeah, because this is a joint publishment between EA and LucasArts.
Yeah, LucasArts and the whole Lucas business totally owns all the rights to anything Star Wars.
Yeah.
So at the end of the day, if they wanted to pull anything from KOTOR 2, I don't think they'd have a problem doing that.
Yeah,
I don't know enough about the story to know if they would want to or need to at all. Like, if there's anything that has this huge implication on the universe that they have to kind of nod towards at some point. And you know, like we'll talk about in a little bit with the comic. You know, they're using that comic to kind of tie KOTOR and the Old Republic stories together. So. I honestly don't know if they're going to be touching on this at all, and they haven't really mentioned KOTOR 2 at all at this point, so I'm leaning towards they're not going to talk about it ever, but I really don't know. So, not to run anything into the ground there, but again, like with all these questions that we get, which we totally love, we love seeing the community interaction, people talking to us, asking questions. With all of that, there's still just so much about this game that hasn't been announced at this point that we love researching and looking into, but we just don't have the answers a lot of time, unfortunately. So, with that, let's go ahead and jump into our little interview talk with Deacon X from the community forums, and
creator of
Heroes of the Old Republic. So, yeah. All right, everybody, we talked about it at the top of the show. It is that time. We made good on our promise to bring Deacon onto the show, and yeah, we're excited to have you. So, Deacon, why don't you kind of introduce yourself to everyone, you know, give a little rundown of who you are, what's up, how's life, you know.
All right. Well, first of all, thanks for having me, guys. It's very cool of you.
No problem.
Appreciate it very much.
Of course.
My name's Deacon. It's actually Deacon. And on the forums, I'm just Deacon X.
Wait.
Yeah?
So your name is actually Deacon?
Yep. I'm not afraid of predators.
Awesome.
Especially not the ones from the aliens kinds.
Uh-huh.
All right. Well, as some of you might be aware, I do a little show with the help of some community members. It's called Heroes of the Old Republic. Let's see, how's life? Life is busy as hell. I was fortunate enough to land a job with Disney a few months back, and they have kept me incredibly busy.
Oh, I'm sure.
Which is hindering me a little bit on the Heroes of the Old Republic front, but at the same time, I'm just thankful to have income right now.
Yeah, I bet.
You know, stability.
What is it you do for them?
Are you
eligible to say?
It's search engine optimization, SEO.
Oh, okay.
Like internet stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
So
it's
much
It's not
fun.
Really as exciting as it sounds.
Exactly.
It's even less exciting than it sounds.
Yeah.
But, you know, honestly, it's the best job I've ever had. I have the best boss in the world, and...
Well, hey, that's all that matters.
Yep, and I'm actually going to give him a little bit of a mention, sort of,
uh-oh,
on one of the upcoming episodes.
Good, good.
Is he going to have like a special cameo role or something like that?
Not exactly, but someone based on him is mentioned. He loves Star Wars as well, so.
That's cool.
Cool, yeah. Cool. So,
tell us a little bit about the Old Republic.
Heroes of the Old Republic.
Or, I'm sorry, Heroes of the Old Republic.
Okay, let's see. So... Basically, I really believe that the community of an MMORPG is really important, right? So I've been trying to support everyone who's doing something for the community, whether it be art, podcasts, whatever. I'm always, you know, encouraging that. And I wanted to do something. Unfortunately, my skills at art are not great.
You're not alone.
Yeah, I'm a bit of a performer. I write. So I thought, okay, maybe I'll write a story. Or then the comics came around, and I thought, hold on, what if I cast some people to do the voices for the characters in the comics, and I take those images and I put them on YouTube, and I make like little, you know, basically make the comics into a video with music and sound effects and voice actors.
Sure.
And just keep updating on that. But then I thought I'd rather do my own thing. So I found this little program called Audacity.
Sure.
And
it
basically lets me do everything I wanted to. And the first, now I'm just playing around with it. I think I actually still have the first little clip I made. It was about like some pirate captain got marooned on some unknown world with his droid, his crew left him behind. And it was just like this little improv thing I did. And my friends kind of liked it, and they were like, you should do something with this. So then I did the little teaser with Falco in that gun blaster dueling pit, the little YouTube video that some people out there may have already seen.
Yeah. Oh, I was going to say, the YouTube video you're referring to is the prologue, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
No, it's even before the prologue. It's the teaser.
Okay.
It's like 10 seconds long. It's very short. It's like 30 seconds. But yeah, so that little 30-second teaser is where it all started, really, this story. It trickled in my mind and just, it spun into Heroes of the Old Republic. And that's when I started working on the prelude.
So when you talk about you creating Heroes of the Old Republic, but you working with people from the community, mm-hmm. is this one of those things where you had friends around you to begin with that you could talk to and they were like, I want to be a part of this and I want to lend my voice or give you a helping hand? Or was this kind of something you went out and just found people in the different forums, whether it be on the Old Republic official forums or just some other fan sites or things like that? Or did you just go out and find people and ask them and give them tryouts, or were the majority of the people that helped you with this just friends of yours, or is it a combination of both?
For the very first one, for the prelude mini episode, it was one of the guys I live with, Eddie. He plays Kurren Jorah. It was just the two of us, really, and because it's kind of hard to just, hey, somebody help us do this weird thing.
Yeah. You know,
like, but I figured once we get it out there, people would see what I'm trying to do and they'd possibly be interested. So at first it was just the two of us, and I've been kind of a jerk because I've got like five friends who want to be a part of it, but I've mostly been picking out people from the community.
Nice.
That's a good thing. Isn't one of those things too where it's like you're picking out, you've got people that want to help you, but in the back of your mind, you're like, I want you staying away from this project as much as possible.
No, actually, all my buddies here, like, they role play and everything, so they're decent actors and decent with improv, really, and characterization. And I'm sure that they will get characters eventually on the series. But right now, I've mostly been looking to the community, and response has been quite phenomenal, in my opinion. I mean, I've got a list of people who want to be on the show, and I'm very thankful for every single one of them sending me their voice demos, and I've got them all in mind. So if you're listening to this, I haven't forgotten you. It's just been taking a while, that's all.
So have you, were you previously a part of any other community, either around Star Wars or something else like that, or is this your first kind of foray into a big community forum area?
No, I hate people. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. No, I've been on, you know, I've been stomping around forums for a long time, but I've never done anything quite like this before. So this is new to me as well. I'm just sort of figuring it out as I go.
Sure. Sure.
Now, yeah. You commented that some of your friends, and I imagine this applies to you as well. I guess I'll just come out and say, so did you play a lot of the role-playing game from the formal role-playing game of Star Wars? I've never played it myself, but you mentioned your friends were a part of it, and you had a lot of friends that liked to play it. So was that something that you were a part of?
I've never played like an official Star Wars RPG system. Long time ago, I used to write stories, and one of my buddies was like, hey, you like this stuff? You should try out D&D. I was like, all right, I'll give it a shot. Found it so stiff and just, I wasn't really into it. I loved the concept of it, but I hated, it was basically, you're in a box, here's a door. You go through that door. You're in a new box, here's a door. That's the way storytellers did it.
Well, yeah. D&D is severely limited by your dungeon master and the stories.
It's not even that so much. It's also like the amount of fun you have with it and the imagination with it is all kind of like based upon the people that you're playing with.
That's
or
true.
Role-playing with. So like my one D&D experience, it was kind of weird because I had like three guys that were, they were hardcore into it and had like four guys that were just like, yeah, I'm not really going to try. And so it just led to all this weird kind of like meshing together that just didn't really work out in the long run.
But yeah, my circle of friends here, what I did was, first of all, I love Star Wars a lot more than, you know, D&D and that kind of fantasy setting. So I kind of created my own system over like a weekend. I just sat down and I figured out a system to make it work for Star Wars. And the system I've applied to like various other RPGs now. I mean, I've run stories for The Matrix. I've run stories for pretty much everything, like a cool property you can think of, and my own stories, you know?
Huh.
Yeah, so we've been role-playing for years, and we still do. So, yeah, we all role-play.
That's awesome. That takes a lot of dedication. I've sat down and done like a couple D&D sessions, and you know, I think it's awesome. It's just not something I frequently have the opportunity to do, so that's pretty cool. So I don't know if Zach asked this while I was gone, but the main character of the show is Falco Danner.
Correct.
So what, tell us about him. You know, is he based on any people already kind of in the Star Wars universe or lore, or where did he come from?
Where did he come from?
I was
going to
add one other thing.
Oh, go ahead.
Is he kind of like a character that you might have been using from something else that you've drug over into this storyline, or is he a completely new concept
as well? Okay, well, let's see. Where did he come from? A lot of him is actually kind of based on me. I lost my parents when I was young, so I can relate to that part of him. He's kind of a Han Solo-ish figure, like a young Han Solo. If you actually read some of the Star Wars books, Han Solo was actually a street kid. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I guess he's a little bit of a Han Solo influence in there. Not quite. What were your other questions? I'm sorry.
Did you create him after like any other existing characters from the past that you might have used? It's like with me, I often kind of do similar things to where I'm coming up with ideas, and I found that sometimes I might use an idea from a different project that hardly anyone's ever seen like a bigger project, because I really liked that idea and I liked what this character had to say in with this one. So is it something that was just completely new for this, or was he kind of an original or an existing idea that you used for something else?
Pure in the moment improv. I'm not kidding. The first teaser that you haven't heard, it wasn't even written. Clicked Audacity, like record, let's go with it.
Yeah.
First take. And, wow, that's awesome.
Yeah, it's the way my mind works, and I mean that's how most of my stories get written. They're influenced by my dreams and improv. So
sure. Yeah, I know how that goes. A lot of just kind of setting the mic to go and see what happens.
I mean, I don't even know any Falcos, you know?
Well, Star Fox, right?
Someone told me about that, and I was like, really? Oh, damn it.
It's cool, dude. It's cool.
Yeah, oh, yeah, it's totally cool. So, how long does it take you to record and put the entire episode together, not worrying about any other outside influences? And what's like your biggest challenge of putting an episode together?
All right, well, I'll start with the biggest challenge, which is actually the part I love more. The biggest challenge is working with the community, because I have to get all those people, you know, I have to manage all those people and get them all to get their pieces to me, and they have to, you know, make sense and fit, because when they have their little piece to record, they don't actually know what the whole thing will look like, right? So they're just doing their bit, and we're all kind of hoping it'll work out in the end. So I guess that's the biggest piece, is just relying on everybody to try and do their part. And so far, it's worked out great. I mean, you know, you have to wait for everybody to get their pieces done before you can actually put it all together.
Right.
But it's the most rewarding part when you hear these people from all over the place. You don't know these people. And when you listen to it for the first time, and it all just flows together, that's a really rewarding feeling.
Yeah, I would imagine so. That's pretty cool.
I imagine from just a producer's standpoint, yeah, that's got to be kind of intense on you, because you're left with trying to explain to everyone, I need you to sound this specific way, or have like express these emotions when you're saying these lines and things like that. So here, they don't have people to play off of. So I imagine that is crazy just hearing you talk about that when you're getting stuff back, and how that speaks a lot for you as a producer to be able to communicate that to the specific individuals, just because that is extremely hard. I mean, it's one thing when they're standing right next to the other, like two people are standing next to each other, and they're
exactly when you're directing.
Yeah, but it's another when you're just like, I need you to do this. You know, it's kind of like the whole acting on a green screen thing, but you've got to convey that message to them, what you specifically want. So that's impressive.
Well, thanks. I've actually come up with a better way to do it now. So how's that? Well, instead of just giving them lines and trying to describe it, because, you know, by email, I just message them and here are your lines. Here's what the character is going through. Here's what it should sound like. What I'm going to do now is I'm just going to record those lines myself to give them a guide, you know, so I can get into that character, whatever character it will be. I'll get into that character. I'll record those lines. I'll record, you know, those little pieces of advice, and then I'll have them do their recording, and that way I can guide them a little bit better because they can hear my tone, the pacing, all of that. I mean, it's going to help a lot, I think.
Yeah, it's pretty interesting. You know, most people I would imagine that most people who haven't had really any experience with recording this kind of thing or putting this type of project together, you know, it's just like, oh, you just kind of say a couple lines. But when you really get down to the nitty gritty, you know, there's all this differences in pronunciation and intonation and pacing and all this kind of stuff. We kind of talked about with all the voiceover that they're doing for the game, and that directly translates into the project you're working on. It's just mind-boggling to me as an audio engineer how you know, they're doing all this work for the game, and then to see it kind of in other places too is really interesting. But What was the next thing I had?
How long it takes?
Oh, yeah, sure, yeah.
It takes a little while. That's all I'm going to say. It takes a little while.
Yeah, it's kind of the it's ready when it's done mantra. Exactly.
Especially because I'm trying to improve and make it sound better each time.
Right.
You know, I mean, when I first did the prelude, it sounded meh. I wasn't very proud of it. But I was still kind of figuring out the program and everything. And I mean, episode one, I think, sounds a lot better. And hopefully episode two, the quality will be even higher.
Sure, sure. So you
specifically mentioned episode two. I guess, what are you expecting to come first? More of the audio of episode two? Or from my understanding, I have not seen the video version, which I don't think you have released yet,
for episode one.
And I know you're working on that, but is that one of those things that you're working on in addition? Are you more focused on episode two right now? How are you handling that?
Well, what's going on is I've got four people who are handling the art for me. And if you guys don't mind, I'll just give them a brief mention.
No, absolutely. Go for it.
That's, let's see. We've got BK Daniels from the community. We've got Ashiel. I'm sorry if I'm not pronouncing it right. Vion's the Dark. He's also from the community. And then one of my buddies, Doug, is actually there. I've split up the episode into four sections, and they're handling the art for episode one. But until those art stills are complete, I can't really, you know, compile them and do anything with the video for episode one.
So that's,
for now, that's out of my hands.
So that's kind of an interesting take on, you know, just kind of giving people random lines and saying, here, do this. Are you expecting to end up with kind of four different art styles for each?
Absolutely. And I'm planning to actually, you know, try and feature those artists. Say, like, you know, here's this section. It's by this artist, you know, like, because I want them to be able to, you know, feel like they've accomplished something as well.
Sure. Yeah, that's...
It's got a very much of the Animatrix type approach to it. It's kind of like
exactly
one continuous story, but everything is still uniquely different visually, and it affects the overall story depending on how that artist wants you to view it. So that is really cool.
Yeah, I'm hoping it'll turn out really well. That's my hope. But then again, like I said, I'm not a professional at any of this. I'm just going into it like a fan, you know?
Yeah. Well, I think that's where some of the best content can come from. You know, as you said before, each new episode, you're kind of demanding a higher level of quality. Mm-hmm. And I think if you start from a fan perspective and putting that kind of love and care into it, you know, the quality is going to come because you care about it. And, you know, that's obviously where the great story is going to come from.
Too. It's funny that we're talking about this with just in terms of Star Wars, because the one thing you hear from the Star Wars community more than anything is, if George Lucas would just keep his hands off of it and let the fans do what they want with it, awesome things are going to happen. But then when George Lucas gets his hands on it anymore, it's kind of like, you know? Yeah. So I don't know if you hear that. It seems like I hear that a lot amongst just the Star Wars fan community in general.
Well, I think, you know, if George ever decides to let up on the reins a little, there could be some great films to come out of Star Wars still.
Yeah.
And there's many tales to tell.
It's truly a unique universe. Just, I mean, it's kind of like, you can focus on kind of like the whole military aspect of specific organizations, or the whole kind of like lone gunman type of scenario, or the gangsters, or the I guess you would say you could look at the Jedi and have more of like the religious movements or cults or things like that. So it's got like all of these different identities with it in one gigantic sci-fi setting, whereas a lot of other sci-fi settings is
very focused.
Yeah, very focused. I mean, like, Brooks and I were huge fans of Battlestar Galactica, but there really isn't a lot of room for fan fiction with that outside of the main story, just because it's a very, like you said, it's a very focused view, or just the whole storyline is just very narrow. I mean, Star Trek is another example to where it has a lot going on with it, but the overall tone with Star Trek is kind of like the same no matter what storyline you look at. It's very serious for the most part. I know a lot, there are probably some Star Trek fans that'll kind of like try to dispute me on this, but I mean, overall, it's very serious, and there's not a whole lot of variation, I feel like, with the type of mood and atmospheres and things you go to. So Star Wars is really unique in its setting, and it allows fans to have the incredible opportunity of really putting whatever they want, like, whatever they want to do, and there's a way you can fit it in the universe.
Right. So what's kind of your next step for Heroes of the Old Republic? Obviously, you're working on episode 2. Like,
that's right.
Short term, long term, what are you looking at?
All right. Well, I've actually written this story as a trilogy.
Okay.
So I'm going to, for the first time, I think,
but you started with episode 1, so that's good.
That's right. Instead of 4. Hey, figures. I'm going to tell you guys the title for episode 2.
Oh, awesome.
Which is episode Heroes of the Old Republic, episode 2, Shadows of the Republic.
Very cool.
It's a double entendre. I'm not going to explain it, but you'll just have to wait and see, everybody. And
sounds like a lot of deception is going to be involved. You gave us enough minor spoilers as it is.
I think
speculating. That's what I do on this whole entire show, is speculate. So,
well, yeah. Hopefully it'll really work out. I'm pretty excited for the story, where it picks up and where it goes.
So, I imagine with all the work going into this, you've got to have like some really good blooper stories. So, is there anything that comes to mind that just sticks out as like this moment where something was just absolutely hilarious and
completely awkward? Like, you get like some voice audition from someone and it's the most awkward thing you've ever listened to. This is something I would maybe guess.
I'm not going to knock anybody's demos. I mean, I've pretty much said, if you submit a demo to me, I will get you on the show no matter what, even if you sound like friggin' Urkel. I don't care. I'll get you on the show because I want you to be a part of it. I'll find something that works, you know?
Sure.
But as far as bloopers go, I don't know. I mean, I guess Eddie and I have a fair bit of fun when he's trying to record his pieces. He doesn't really come from an acting background or anything. So, you know, guiding him to get the character correct. I mean, we take like 10 takes of a line and then we'll find the one that really works, but it's not really, I wouldn't consider it a blooper or anything. It's just sometimes the tone is not right. That's all.
Yeah. Just part of the process.
Yeah.
I mean, we can totally relate to that when we did like a 2-minute little video clip a couple episodes ago and we were constantly re-recording stuff and doing whatever we could to get like how you're saying, the final result or the final product to sound how we wanted it to sound. So, yeah, we did a lot of takes of the same line. We're just like, I'll find one of those that'll work.
Yeah, and sometimes it ends up just being totally way off base, and you just look at each other and go, what were you thinking?
Yeah. If anyone belongs on the blooper reel, it's me. I do like 50 takes of my lines. I'm never happy, so.
I know exactly what you mean. There's a point where you go, I don't even know if this sounds good.
Yeah.
You just start questioning everything.
Yeah, you just have to step away for a little while and you listen.
Of life. Oh my gosh.
So Jawa versus Ewoks, who wins in a fight?
This is toughy.
Is it?
It is. Because I mean, Jawa's got the technology.
This is true.
Ewoks just, they're fierce little buggers, you know? They attack in packs like nothing else. they're tribal maniacs.
This is true.
You know what? I gotta go with Ewoks.
Oh,
they defeated
man.
The Empire. Right. Come on.
They defeated the Empire. You got a point.
Yeah, that's
Ewoks
true.
Is what defeated the Empire.
Jawas will run.
This is true, but they do have their big cruisers things. I feel like they could just kind of
sandcrawlers.
Thank you. I feel like they could just kind of roll in and because they don't have the disadvantage of the AT-ST where it's just two legs. You know they've got this thing. I don't know.
Well, it's no secret. Speaking of bloopers, it's no secret that we obviously love Jawas on the show and we like to make fun of Ewoks whenever we can, but that's cool.
No, it's okay.
I just see the Ewoks doing some Green Beret stuff, you know, climbing into the sand crawler, going through the ducts, snapping little Jawa necks.
You've got like the John Wayne version of one of the Ewoks.
Oh, geez.
But I really do hope that Jawas are playable in the Old Republic, because I think that would be awesome.
I totally agree with you.
I would definitely want a Jawa companion, little guy, fix up my stuff.
Oh, totally. Totally. Like, that's a great
especially
idea.
Especially in the smuggler role, yeah.
Oh, yeah, totally. I would totally kill to have a little Jawa running around my ship, like, fixing
stuff. He's got Jawa hookups, too, so I can buy stuff for real cheap.
Oh, I know,
exactly.
Yeah.
That'd be perfect.
Like, if you got, like, the right Jawa, you get a discount on the black market or whatever, so.
Totally. Totally. So, I think the other thing that we wanted to touch on that Zach and I have been pretty remiss about, mainly...
We've got a lot of email questions about it as well.
Yeah, is the Threat of Peace webcomic. I'm just, in general, not a huge comic guy. You know, I bought Watchmen and got to the fourth chapter and haven't gotten any further.
Hey, you got further than me.
So, as far as I know, you've been relatively up to date on the comic, Deacon.
Fairly.
So what are your overall thoughts of the series? Like, what's it trying to do? I know their explanation has been it's kind of filling in the space between KOTOR and the Old Republic. So what's your impression of both the story and the art and their implementation and stuff like that?
All right, well, first I'd like to preface this with a little something, okay? Sean Dalberg addressed community fears about the comic becoming, you know, an actual weekly update.
Yeah.
Much like Fan Fridays. He said that they are not weekly updates. They would be complimentary. They would be extras. Since then, we've had several updates, which are either Fan Friday or comics alone.
Right.
Kind of sucky. But at the same time, people buy Aware OS nothing. No updates.
Exactly.
So we're really lucky to just be getting anything.
Exactly.
So,
yeah,
for but everyone, sorry.
No. I was gonna say before you dive into the comic, I totally agree with you there. You know, like there's this weird voice on the community forums of these people who feel that BioWare owes them this weekly epic update of some huge game mechanic or some new class. And while I'm totally stoked for when that stuff comes out, and it's going to come out soon, and it's gonna ramp up, it's just, the game's over a year away, and this team has been working slaving on this project. And I don't want to sound total fanboy, but I'm like, you know, I totally commend them for the community that they've developed so far, and I'm just kind of a part of it, and whatever they want to show me whenever they want to is basically okay. But anyways,
I'll sound fanboy, I don't mind. I love BioWare. I think they're awesome.
I do think they're a great company, full of great people.
Everyone I've met from them has been just such a nice person, so welcoming and awesome.
Yeah.
But yeah, you know, it probably wouldn't kill them, though, to release like a screenshot or a concept art per week.
Yeah,
you're probably
right.
Just a little something. That would probably keep a lot of people very happy.
Yeah.
And even if it's stuff off the cutting room floor.
Exactly. We know it's a work in progress. We know it's subject to change. Yeah. It doesn't matter. We just want to look at something. Yeah. Something new. Okay, so about the comics. Now, the writer is Rob Chesney, Jedi Rob. He actually got a job with BioWare as a writer after writing a successful module for Neverwinter Nights.
Huh.
I actually also tried to do the same, but because of my fairly limited knowledge of the Aurora engine for the game, I couldn't do what I wanted to, which is a story about a talking sword that made fun of you.
Sounds like an adventure game.
It was going to be an adventure, but it was basically in my head it sounded like Sean Connery, and it would just make fun of you. You know, you'd swing it, be like, "You swing like a girl." You know, like,
that's awesome.
But yeah, he got his job like that. To which I gotta say, Mr. Rob Chesney, hats off. Good for you, man. That is awesome. Sure. I'm very happy for you. When it comes to the comic, so just so you know, Rob, I'm proud of you, mate. and I don't mean to hurt your feelings at all here, because it's probably really difficult to tell a story in 3 pages at a time, weeks apart. But I've got to say, I'm not feeling the characters, and the story just feels really all over the place, but the characters are what's most important. I don't really connect with any of them. I don't feel any of them are really cool or unique or special in any way that makes me more interested in them. There's just, I'm not feeling like a tying bond. So
I basically, totally agree with that. I mean, I haven't kept up with the comics over the last few weeks, and I think the reason why is when they initially released them, I started looking through them, and I was like, whoa, this is it. You know, that I was expecting it to be like a big 5, 6, 7 page thing, and it was like one, there's just enough to have a sequence of events to take place, and then after that, it's over, done, and then you move on, like you're saying, there's really no time to understand what's going on or the transitioning from one piece to the other piece and things like that. And it's really hard for me to look at that, I guess you would say, in context with the rest of the story. Because I kind of feel like what they're probably going to say is, oh, well, this is just one piece in a larger story.
Mm-hmm. Sorry?
Oh, and I was going to say, and that's kind of hard for me because when I look at it, it's like I associate it. Each comic should be chronological and everything. The transitions between each comic should make sense and flow.
Mm-hmm.
And if I'm not seeing that, I'm just kind of like, okay, well, if I miss something else somewhere, I'm completely lost, you know? So I guess that's why I haven't personally been drawn into this.
Brooks, how you feeling?
Well, like I mentioned before, I'm not a huge comic guy to begin with. And I don't know, I feel like if they were going to improve it anywhere from this point on, you know, give him the opportunity to do more panels at once.
Mm-hmm.
Cause I feel like, you know, if there's a problem with character development and really caring about the story, the first obvious place to start is to say, oh, we're going to go from 3 pages to like 5 pages. You know, he's doing about 3 panels a page ish. You know, so that takes it from 9 to 15. I feel like that's a little bit more room to do a story. But at the same time, you know, like I'm a huge fan of the My Extra Life webcomic, and that's one panel, 3 panels, mm-hmm. like 3 times a week. And while the story, it's not trying to tell an epic story, you know, even with just in a single thing, I totally get what's going on. So, I mean, I don't really know enough about the comic industry or comic artists to make a judgment on his talent or skill, but I totally, from a fan perspective, you know, if they're trying to tell this story that's filling in space between KOTOR and the Old Republic, I kind of need to care about the story and what's going on with the individual characters, and, you know, I need to feel that it's on the epic scale that they want it to be, and I'm not sure it's really doing that.
Well, I think a lot of what you said, kind of the types of story that are being told here, when you look at something that Scott Johnson does with My Extra Life, it's just, it's 3 frames.
It is pretty different.
It's a funny, yeah. You know, mm-hmm. he's got 1 frame to set something up, 1 frame to have, like, the joke, and then the punchline. You know, it's very... A comedy story is completely different than something.
I totally understand.
Yeah. And I'm not like disagreeing with you or anything. Yeah. I'm just saying like, I think that's the reason why I struggle reading it, because there isn't enough time. Like, just basically what you're saying. Yeah. There's just not enough time to expand upon the ideas that they're wanting to create, or the emotions or things like that. And because of that, they're trying to do like a 20-page Marvel or World of Warcraft comic in like two sections.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I think, go ahead, Deacon.
Oh, okay. Thanks. I think what I'm actually going to do is stop reading the comics until it's done and read through it all at once.
Yeah.
That might not be a bad idea.
That might make more sense if I just did that. Sorry, you were going to say.
Oh, no. I was thinking, like you mentioned earlier about how Sean had said that Thread of Peace wasn't going to be our weekly update, and how it's over the summer kind of turned into that. Whether or not you care about how much content they're giving us, I think the overall negative feel of the community, or some of the community members, kind of gives the comic this. It reflects on the comic in a way that it shouldn't. You know, like, people are saying, oh, we want more stuff. This comic is the only thing you're giving us. And then people just kind of look at the comic and go, meh, because of that. If that makes any sense.
No, I can see what you're saying. And the thing is I can also understand, just from like a marketing standpoint, why they're doing this. Because online webcomics are kind of becoming extremely huge. Popular right now.
Yeah.
And it is very smart of them to take this style to kind of reach out and try to connect with, well, I mean, they're Star Wars fans, and like I've talked about before, there are the amount of Star Wars fans that are on this planet pretty much exceeds almost any other type of franchise that you could think of. And because of that, there's so many different ways they can reach out and connect with those Star Wars fans. And one way they're trying to do this is through webcomics, because like I said, it's the new thing. Another way they might try to do this is through some of the Holocron videos, which I personally like those.
I think those are great.
Love them.
And you know, they've got everything from like the Deceived trailer to just like going out and showing demos on various news sites and things like that. So I kind of feel like one reason why they're doing this is just to kind of like nod toward the whole webcomic community. And I don't know if that's necessarily a bad thing, but at the same time, maybe they ought to go back. I don't know how you feel about this, Deacon, but maybe they ought to reevaluate what they're trying to achieve with that, and make sure that what they're wanting to achieve with that community is actually meeting that. Because it'd be a very bad thing if at the end of the day, a lot of people have never played an MMO before. They love webcomics, they love Star Wars, and they're like, well, man, they totally trashed that. I want nothing to do with the game, you know? Pretty bad at the end of the day.
I think what they're trying to do with it is simply reveal the timeline a little bit, like what the universe is actually going through during this time. I think what it could be really useful for is giving the community a lot of hints about the game, which I'm sure it does already a little bit. You know, little hints at the classes, little hints at the world, little hints at the NPCs that we'll interact with. I've actually got a couple good things to say about it as well, if you guys want to hear.
Oh, absolutely. Oh, yeah. we don't want to totally trash on it.
No, and like I said, I'm not trashing on it, because I think Rob's job is difficult enough as it is, like with only 3 pages to work with.
Absolutely.
Over weeks. Let's see. There's one character, though. When I read, I think it was actually Act 2's first like 3 pages.
Mm-hmm.
Fortress, I think his name is. He's the Jedi with the 2 sabers. I loved that character. I actually connected with him. I liked his personality. I liked his approach to things, because it was exactly what I was thinking. When they tell him, hey, listen, there's, you know, he's kind of like, there's this demolition squad, I think, and they're behind enemy lines, but they've got to pull out because that's what the Republic's ordered. And he's like, well, that's nice. I'm going in to save those guys. See ya. And that's exactly the decision I would have made were I the Jedi in that position. I would have been totally like, well, that's great, but I'm not leaving those men to die, so see ya.
Right.
You do what you want. I'm going to go do this. And I really like that character. I think that little I don't know, what do you call them, episodes, issues? Yeah. That issue especially was pretty damn cool.
Yeah.
The bounty hunter's growing on me as well. And not like it's a big, big thing, but nobody ever mentions the coloring guy. And I think his name is Michael Atiyeh. I'm sorry if I mispronounced your last name, but really good job on the coloring for the comic.
Yeah, what do you think of the... do you know who's doing the actual drawing?
Oh, it's kind of... Okay, I can't
draw.
What do
you think of it? Yeah, I can't draw either to save my life.
But I'm also not being paid to.
Right.
So on that note, I got to say it's pretty up and down. Like, there are some images that look really cool. Like, mm-hmm. this last comic, Master Zim is doing this force push thing. That image looks awesome. But a lot of times, people just look kind of weird. Their eyes especially are kind of weird. I don't know, but just, I mean, it could hollow. Be better. But yeah, at the same time, I can't do it, so good on you, man. You got a job with BioWare.
Right.
Awesome. Yeah. Good for you.
Right. There's a whole community there of people who actually can draw, who I'm sure can make very educated statements about his art style, mm-hmm. and what he's doing.
Alex Sanchez, that's who it is.
Okay. I totally agree with you on that. You know, some panels are totally cool. You can tell that he spent a lot of time on those. And then others are just like, really? Does he really look like that? Or, you know, how much time did you spend on this? I don't want to speak down to his work, because I can't do it, surely.
Yeah, I can totally relate to that. But, I'm afraid to... Sorry, I didn't mean
go ahead.
Cut you off. I'm hesitant to just like say my opinion on it, just because other than like I'm basically not interested in it, and I can give you a reason why, but I don't want to just sit there and trash it or come across as that's what I'm doing, because like you said, Deacon, I mean, obviously I'm not paid to do that. I don't claim to be a professional. I don't know enough about what is what. I could barely draw like a stick figure. Well, I can draw a stick figure. I can draw a little bit more in a stick figure, but I mean, beyond that, I would never professionally submit something. I'd be embarrassed to do it. And so because of that, and because of my lack of understanding, I'm kind of myself hesitant just to say I think it's bad. I guess my opinion is I just don't connect with it. And I can look at it from a storytelling standpoint, because I feel like that is something I have a pretty decent amount of knowledge about. So outside of that, yeah, the art thing, it's just like, ooh, wow, pretty colors. I like that.
Yeah. I'm looking I'm looking at this force push panel that you were talking about, mm-hmm. and it does look super cool.
Yeah, but it does. There are only two things in the story that have actually annoyed the heck out of me to the point of where I was like, all right, I'm closing this window. The last issue here, Master Zim is meeting up with a contact, right?
Yeah.
And this bounty hunter shows up, and the bounty hunter's like, blah, 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 blaster on the contact. Master Zim is doing what right now? And boom, blows the contact away. Master Zim is doing what right now? You know, like,
yeah.
And then he's like, I'm going to arrest you. That's great. Why didn't you protect the contact?
Yeah.
I mean, there was plenty of time. What kind of Jedi master are you? You know, the guy had a blaster.
Yeah.
So that I kind of found, like, what kind of Jedi Master is this guy? Jeez, this must be like the guy all the other Masters felt sorry for and threw him a bone. All right, come on, Council. You know?
Yeah. Hey, you can go hang out and watch this thing. We're going to go do the fun stuff. We'll see you in a couple of years. Don't blow anything up. Oh, wait.
Yeah, Glowbat.
Oh, go ahead. Sorry,
there was just one other piece of the story that boggled the heck out of me, which was when a few issues back, there was a Mandalorian group that was about to attack, I think, the escape pod that the Shan Jedi lady was on.
Mm-hmm.
And this military transport, shows up and one shot kills the Mandalorian ship. Just give up. No. Bang. I win.
Yeah, that's pretty bad.
I was like, that's I realize there's only three pages, but that is not Star Wars epic space combat type
yeah.
stuff.
Yeah, like find a balance. Those are
some pretty powerful lasers.
Find a balance between that and like
that little ship.
Like that and like Dragon Ball Z, where it takes like seven episodes to finally just, like punch something.
Power. Yeah. Well, in a way though, it's kind of funny because I just watched the Blue Harvest movie from Family Guy recently with a couple friends because they hadn't seen it.
Yeah.
And they like poke fun at that segment where Han Solo is like, it's okay. There's a couple of Star Destroyers on us, but I know a few good maneuvers. And then the ship kind of drifts to the left.
You're just listening lazily to the left.
It's like, that's it? That's all Brilliant. You know? And it's kind of funny you talk about that because it's like just those little things in Star Wars. It's like, okay, that's not drastic space combat.
But yeah.
It just
reminded me of that for some reason.
I thought it was an opportunity to build some tension. Whether, all right, are the Mandalorians going to capture them? Are they going to disable the good guys here and capture the pod?
Nope, or, blown the hell up.
Know, nope, just done. Okay, so, okay, you know. Yeah. I thought we could, you know, make it epic or something.
That I mean, like we said earlier, that's probably a direct product of him only having so much space to work with. Exactly. Which is unfortunate, but, you know, that's kind of just what it is. Mm-hmm. At this point.
So talking about things we do like, and obviously that being the Old Republic game, what are your overall thoughts on it?
For the
news that we have right now?
You mean just everything just we in know general, about the Old Republic?
What's some stuff that excites you? What's some stuff that you're just like, you can't wait to try? Like, what specifically are you looking forward to about the game so far and all that kind of stuff?
Okay, I know people are going to flame the crap out of me for this, but Star Wars Galaxies, yes, I said it. When my friends and I first played that, we just had this complete, just awesome feeling of just being in the Star Wars universe, and that's exactly what I'm looking forward to.
Sure.
All I've got to say to BioWare is, BioWare, you build a game, people are going to play it and finish it and do whatever. You build a universe, we will literally move in and stay.
That is true.
I hope you guys know what I'm talking about over there. Because I know they've said we are building an entertainment experience, not a simulation. But let's put a little more simulation in it. Maybe just a little.
Yeah. No, I totally understand where you're coming from. Because I've been playing Warcraft for the past couple of weeks again. And I've been through everything on the game, you know, like the entire universe. I basically know what's going on outside of like the high end raid content because I haven't been up there in a while. But you know, so the Star Wars universe is a place that I can move into. I can get in and go, oh yeah, I totally basically know what's going on because this is the Star Wars universe and there's all this cool stuff happening, and it's a totally different setting than the powerhouse in the MMO industry. And I think whether you're a Star Wars fan or an MMO fan, you're basically going to find something to get behind with this, with this game. So that's what I'm looking forward to.
I think a lot of developers, MMO developers, kind of miss the idea of allowing the community to really invest in the worlds they create. Okay, aside from raids and missions, okay, but people will blow through that. You need to give them reason to stay, to really love the being in that game.
Yeah.
Things to do that are not mission, you know?
You know, and you talking about that, I've played a few MMOs. Different ones have done different things. The one thing that comes to mind is, once again, this is going back to World of Warcraft. I can think of specific moments where they put stuff in the game, like back in the old AQ days where, like, there was a gate blocking this new temple and like the world had to work together to unlock that and gain access to it. And there was literally like tons of different things you had to do. They needed people to collect different types of wool or cloth, donate those, do different types of missions to progress that part of the storyline. They needed people to capture this, get this many times, or go kill these specific guys to get these potions off of them. And use that to conjure something. And at the end of the day, like one person was able to get this staff. And basically that person, through the efforts of a lot of people, was able to finally unlock this temple And that's crazy. The whole world or the whole server had access to it at that point.
Yeah.
And there was two different sides. I mean, that was both the Alliance and the Horde. And it created some unique events because you heard of stories where servers got the scepter to open up the temple and then they held it ransom. And they're like, we're not going to open up this temple until you get 10,000 gold from whoever. And wow. So like, it's kind of like, okay, that it is a form of griefing. But at the mm-hmm. same time, it does add a whole new experience to the game. It's like you would never have that if they just drop in something new and like, okay, there you go, that's it. And because of that, it caused the whole community to band together and like, you know, they did what they had to do to get it done. But then it was kind of like one of those things that is stuck around on the server forever, and it was just like, oh, that guy's name's Mud now, you know. So it's one of those things where you couldn't have that kind of community experience without Blizzard actually taking the steps to allow that in the first place. And so what you're saying here, I agree completely with Star Wars. It shouldn't be so much. I mean, I love what they're doing with the story because that's one of my big beefs with MMOs is just the storyline and the storytelling is horrible. And it's not engaging and you just don't want to sit there and pay attention the whole time. And so I love what they're doing with that story. But at the same time, like they've got to, I'm anxious to see what they're going to do. And they keep telling us to expect all the same kind of stuff that you would see in a big AAA, especially in game. I'm really anxious to see what happens when you get to the end game level and how you impact the world itself. Like, I think that's what I want to see more of in MMOs. I want to be able to step into that world and say, like, I'm going to do this today, and that has like ramifications on everyone else that plays the game. It could be good or bad, but just more of that kind of stuff. And I think, like, we've seen some people talk about it on here, or not specifically talk about it, but email us, talk about it on our forums, and we've seen some good ideas. Like, the whole cantina is just, like, a potential social hub like we've never seen before in any MMO. For sure. Like, the stuff they could do with that, whether it be gambling or music or, anything like that, trading, black marketing type stuff, all of that. I mean, they had the potential for them just to blow the doors off with a whole new social hub and a social medium in an MMO is through the roof in this game just from that aspect alone. So I completely agree with you. I'm really looking forward to it.
So, Deacon, you said, you know, both you played Galaxies and you and your friends are big role-playing guys. Did you do any in-game role-playing in Galaxies?
Absolutely, actually. The way we roleplay, though, is not like a lot of people, I've noticed. A lot of people tend to just kind of stand around and then tell you their character background for like 4 hours. And you're gone to make a sandwich.
Yep.
You know, like,
Killed you? I never heard of him. I don't care.
The way we roleplay, if we roleplay, we weren't always roleplaying. I mean, we'd blow through the content too as much as we can, but when we did roleplay, what we'd prefer to do with the people that I roleplayed was if we had some sort of mission, if someone had a mission, our characters would speak in character, but we'd be on like vent or something or TeamSpeak on our headsets. We'd speak naturally on the headsets, but we'd speak in character in the game world, so everyone around us saw what we were saying to each other, so they could see it's like, yeah, those guys over there are discussing this or that. You know, like, but it's in character. And then we'd actually go through the mission, except for combat. We're not going to type out, you know, stuff in combat because we're too busy kicking ass.
Yeah. Right. You know?
Yeah.
But other than that, we'd actually, you know, if there's a cliff overlooking like some base that we need to take out, we'd actually have our characters like lay down, look down at the cliff, discuss the battle plan kind of thing, you know, like that sort of thing.
Right.
We just play out the missions, I guess, is to make it more interesting instead of, you know, well, my parents were also killed, so, like, yeah.
Yeah. Not to knock on that community, because there is a whole group of people who just love standing around and talking about themselves, but I'm totally with you. Like, I don't just want to stand around and talk about myself. If I'm going to get into my character to that level, I want to go out and kick some ass and, you know, talk about how I'm going to break into some place and do something. And I think one of the things about BioWare and Blizzard and a couple, like the people who developed Eve, you know, they put these set of tools in the game and or these scenarios in the game and then kind of left it up to the community to create that. So they didn't hinder them. But they didn't necessarily say, here's this thing that you should be using to do this. And I think that's where some of the great stuff comes up. You know, like Zach, you were talking about the AQ event. You know, no one in Blizzard at Blizzard had any idea that somebody was going to hold the key for ransom. But that was like a cool, huge event that happened on that server. And, you know, like that story a couple years ago on Eve with the huge corporate espionage thing.
Oh, yeah.
Like no one saw that coming. That was super cool.
That was great.
Yeah. So I'm sure BioWare is looking at those things and going, well, let's just create opportunities and not force anyone into any certain situation,
yeah.
But not necessarily totally ignore it either.
I definitely think BioWare should implement some tools to allow people to be able to basically encourage community interaction, social interaction, and also encourage, I'm not going to say encourage role-playing because that's very biased, but
right.
at least give people the means, the tools to help them role-play.
Right. Yeah, I think that's the first and most important step.
Yeah. Oh, and if they wouldn't mind stealing a feature from Guild Wars, this is probably the only great feature from Guild Wars. Guild Wars has this little mini map, just like every MMO, except you could draw on it.
Oh, yeah.
Drawing, whatever you draw on
totally
it disappears after a few seconds.
Yeah.
But you guys could be saying, like, all right, you attack from this way, you draw on the map, and I draw on the map, and you guys can see exactly where I'm trying to tell you to go, and you know automatically that's my waypoint.
I forgot about that. That is a great feature in that game.
That is a great feature. I've never seen it in any other game, but TFIT.
Yeah, yeah. No, I think that's a great idea, and you know, just totally going off on the deep end in terms of features. There's this game, I can't remember the name of it for the life of me, but it was like 120 player first person shooter. Where
Planetside?
No. This is a new game.
Mag.
Yeah, oh, Mag. Yep. Yeah, you know where you have, you know, like your commander level, and then and he can talk to everybody, and then like lieutenants or whatever who can talk to, you know, groups of people, and then like sergeants who can talk to other people, and then just privates. You know, obviously this is like way out there on the deep end of features I would love to see, but you know, like a huge battleground with that kind of implementation inside of the Star Wars universe would make me just go nerdgasm all over the place.
Yeah.
Quick side note, Sony refuses to acknowledge that MAG stands for Massive Action Game.
Really?
that is what it stood
That's
for.
That's totally what it stands for.
Yeah.
Huh.
They deny that.
Speaking of Sony, they shut down like 8 servers, or are shutting down like 8 Galaxies servers.
Galaxies, yeah.
Yeah. What do you guys think of that? And how that's going to impact both the Old Republic and the Star Wars Galaxies community. Any thoughts?
Well, I know the numbers for Star Wars Galaxies have been dwindling, but there are people who still, you know, they just stick it out and they love what they've got going there. And that's very largely the RP community from what I hear, because they've been able to kind of build those lives that they don't want to leave behind and those friendships.
I kind of feel like Sony, I mean, because Sony is completely separate from what EA and BioWare is doing, so they're not just going to shut down just because this is in the works. I think they're going to milk it for all they can.
Oh, yeah.
It's probably
as long
more
as there's
of,
money.
Yeah. This is probably more of just them kind of paving the road ahead, because it's going to be a very, very rough road for them here on out.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I think they're probably just consolidating their remaining players into fewer servers, and that way it's probably more manageable on their behalf. They're not, I don't know how many servers they have available, or you said 8 shut or 8 shut down.
Yeah. I don't remember off the top of my head. I think that's a good portion, but I honestly don't remember how many servers.
It's just going
to
be cheaper for them. It's probably at the end of the day, a lot of financial, it's probably all driven financially, the reason for the choice. So
I think it's also them kind of acknowledging the huge elephant in the room. You know, here's this new awesome looking Star Wars game that's coming along. And, you know, if they can find some way to draw in the RP community that's still hanging around Galaxies, you know, I think Sony is kind of seeing the writing on the wall here.
I kind of I kind of think they're probably at this point, they kind of realize their days are numbered, but at the same time, people still play EverQuest, and so they look at that, and they go, here we have EverQuest 2, but people are still playing EverQuest.
People still play PlanetSide. You know, they just, at the end of August, merged down to finally just one server, but, you know, that game came out in 2003.
Well, and that's my point is if people are going to pay for it, they're going to give them a way to play it still. So that's pretty much what I think what they're doing is they're just looking ahead, and that's that.
Yeah. Yeah. Cool.
Well, Deacon, it's been nice having you on here. We could talk all day.
Yeah. Any final comments, shout outs, anything you want to say randomly?
Just absolutely thank you. I'm so grateful to everyone who has already partaken in Heroes of the Old Republic, everyone who has posted in the thread for Heroes of the Old Republic, just all the support and all the interest. I'm very grateful and pretty blown away by it, honestly. So just thanks, everyone.
Well, we definitely love it here. Looking forward to episode 2. It's great stuff. Once again, as Deacon, creator of Heroes of the Old Republic, and you've got a website, I'm sure you'd like to plug or something.
Nope.
we've linked to the forum thread before, and we'll post it real big text on this episode to make sure.
Are you a Twitter user?
No.
You don't like the Twitter?
Nope.
I'm trying to help you out here.
No Facebook. No Twitter. Nope. None of that. Nope.
Use MySpace, LiveJournal, Friendster, something.
Nope. Bang bang bang.
Awesome. Nope. Well, Deacon, it's been absolutely great having you. Hopefully we'll be able to get you on the show sometime in the future again.
Awesome.
Thanks so much for stopping by.
Thanks for having me, guys. It's been awesome.
So, if you couldn't tell, we actually recorded that yesterday with Deacon, just the way schedules worked out. But that was a lot of fun.
Yeah, I enjoyed that a lot.
I'll be completely honest. I had no idea how that was going to go. I mean, Deacon's a super cool guy. But, you know, I've never really done one of those, like, kind of bring someone on you don't know before. And so, but I have to imagine they can either go really well or just be totally awkward. And Deacon is such a cool enough dude that it actually ended up working out great. And we could have talked for like 6 hours.
Oh yeah, easily.
But yeah, so I think that's pretty much gonna wrap it up for the show here. As always, hit us up, mossisleyradio.com.
Follow us on Twitter. At twitter.com/mossisleyradio. You can send us your emails at mossisleyradio@gmail.com as well. And I think that's about the only. Yeah, if you want. Utini!
No.
If you guys would like, feel free to stop by our forums as well. Our forum community is growing more and more every week, and we're going to.
Again, I want to apologize for not being there at all this week. I absolutely love the people who are going on the forums. It's super cool. I will be back into it very quickly.
He's just caught up watching Glee.
I am. That's it. Oh, my God. Okay. Hold on. Before we end the show.
What?
Okay. I
was just like taking a shot in the dark.
You're serious? I'm serious. Okay. No. Listen to this, though. Okay. So I watched the pilot when that first came out, and I'm like, you know, this is very clearly a nerdy show for people who are either 14 or have some kind of theater/show choir experience and can appreciate what's going on there. So I'm like, this could be okay. I've watched the past 3 episodes. This is the biggest pile of bagok on TV I have ever watched.
Isn't it like super popular?
It's super popular. I don't understand it. The acting is just terrible. The plot moves so fast that people just have these, like, relationships. And I don't mean that in, like, a sexual sense. There's, like, people have developed these strong relationships, and there's topics being discussed that just pop out of thin air. And top it all off, the transition between just regular show and singing is so harsh that it goes from, like, normal TV set production, you know, if you were watching The Office or something like that, to this hyper-produced, super clean, you know, auto-tuned to hell.
So it's not like singing. Dr. Horrible is what you're saying.
Not at all. It's just so bad. It's so bad, and it's so fun to watch a show tank so hard.
Hearing you talk about this kind of reminds me of the old days when we did Frackin' Media, which was our old podcast years ago. Well, not years ago, last year. Yeah.
it's
if you want to watch a good show,
seriously terrible.
I'm going to just give my quick 2-second suggestion.
Sons of Anarchy.
There you go.
Hands down, best show on television.
Awesome. Fabulous.
Anyways, that's going to do it for us this week, folks. We will see you again in a couple of weeks. Take care.
Take it easy. So we'll do a quick wrap up, right?
Right. So
people are starting to show up.
Douche. Let me talk.
You're a douche. That's how you make Brooks laugh, ladies and gentlemen. Just say you're a douche. Not to be confused with Skadoosh.
Skadoosh. Okay.
Saw that movie.
Yep.
I can go on for hours.
I bet you could.
That's what she said.
Oh. Being sick is just.
Are you
so
recording?
Much fun. I am now.
He just meow, meow,
yeah.
meow.
If you want another cat, Deacon, because I've got six, I'm on board. Six kittens.
Wow. Meow.
Come on, meow.
How you doing, meow?
Funny, meow.
Do I look like a kitten? Am I drinking from a saucer? Am I jumping all nimbly bimbly?